Hallelujah. You ready for that? Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Praise you, Jesus. And the kids can go to their classes. That's right. For all that worship music, it sounds kind of quiet in here, doesn't it? Should we have Leon just start playing music during the sermon where I'll make a statement and go, "Gong gong," you know. Like they do in a lot of churches, you know, they do that. I don't have a problem with it. It's more of a preaching support system than it is a teaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand." Everybody say, "We understand." By faith we understand. In other words, we should understand. The problem is most of the church doesn't understand this. Do you follow me? What we're about to read, most of the church does not understand it. But here, the writer of Hebrews made a declaration that we should be understanding it. He didn't say by faith we might understand. By faith we should understand. He said by faith we understand. Amen. They were teaching faith in the original church age, in the first century church. He says by faith we do understand that the worlds were framed, the age. That word worlds doesn't mean just the earth and the planets and the solar system. It means the ages. All of the ages were framed, put in position, established, and put in motion by the Rhema word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith we should understand that if you can release faith-filled words, Rhema words, it will change the state of creation. It will bring into creation what did not exist before. It will alter the shape of even the future. Faith is what God gave us to make a connection with His kingdom, to bring the kingdom's provision, the kingdom's grace, the kingdom's power into our lives to see God's word fulfilled. By faith, you have the ability to reach into heaven's declarated promises, declared promises, and bring those promises into manifestation in your life. How many know God has infinite power? He's given us exceeding great and precious promises. How many know that heaven has everything we'll ever need? Every problem you've ever gone through, will ever go through, heaven has the answer. And God says, by faith, you can make a tangible connection between heaven and your life and bring heaven's provision into your life now. And we should understand that. We should understand there's authority in our words, that when we speak, power is released. We did a message Thursday night on, you know, cocking your faith. Remember that? That, you know, intentional releasing your faith versus just speaking a whole lot of words and not putting any faith into what you're saying with regard to the Word of God. The Word of God is full of power. Amen. And you have a right to lock and load, to cock and fire the Word of God. Remember that? In other words, when it's time to speak the words, you need to recognize there is a sledgehammer of power about to come out of you that will wreck everything in front of it. I mean a big wrecking ball of power. We didn't talk about that, but a big wrecking ball. Or one that will rebuild. And when you say in Jesus' name and you release the Word of God, power is released. The same power that created the heavens. Amen. And we should understand that. By faith, we understand. For the church not to understand the power of faith, to mock the word of faith, to call it name it and claim it and blab it and grab it, to not believe there's power in your words, that when you really speak the word of God, it should produce change, is to really nullify and negate the very keys of the kingdom Jesus said we're supposed to operate in. Are you following me on that? We should be speaking the word of God and knowing what we say is going to come to pass. Having faith in what we say. Amen. When you say you're healed, you believe the power of God is released to bring healing into your body. In Jesus' name, your body has to line up. Why? Because it's the all-powerful, almighty Word of God. The only way your body will not be healed when you speak the Word over it is because you've turned what should be rhema into logos. You've taken the rhema Word of God and just made it another powerless statement. Well, by His stripes I'm healed. You don't believe it. Because the Word without faith remains in logos state and just spoken state. But when you believe it and you speak it having faith in what you say, well, I think we should have faith in God. Oh, we have faith in God. And we have faith in God that He's a God that cannot lie. And when He says something, He will do it. And when He makes a promise, He will fulfill it. And He said, if you'll speak My word, I will cause My promises to come to pass in your life. And you have to have faith that when you speak it, it will happen because God said it. We have the church. Most of the church believes Jesus is coming again. Anybody believe that Jesus is coming back? Most of the church believes Jesus is coming back. Why? The Word of God declares it. He personally said it. I will return. Amen. So we believe that promise. But why don't we believe all the promises of God? Amen. Because all of a sudden now we're involved in this process. And the key is we have to believe what we say. We have to believe that God gave us a tool called the power of speech, the authority of the Word, that when we speak it, it will happen. And if we say it, it's going to come to pass. And the level you can access, you can develop an access that faith will determine how much of your prayers are answered. Do you believe when you say it, it will happen? Lock and load, praise God. And so we must understand this truth. Now he talks about the elders obtained a good report. And in this passage, Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the Faith Hall of Fame. He goes through talking about what all these great men of God did by the power of faith. Right? And I want to go on over to verse number 20. It says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob blessed Isaac. I'm sorry, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Jumped ahead. Concerning things to come. In other words, Jacob made a declaration. I keep saying Jacob. Isaac made a declaration out of his mouth concerning what he was prophesying to come to pass. And apparently he believed those things because it says he did it by faith. That Jacob believed if he spoke it over his children, it would happen. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both of the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. He called in Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, right? And blessed them by faith. Believing what he spoke would come to pass. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Joseph prophesied the future of Israel. Amen. Believing it. Said, when you leave, take my bones with you. Take them to the promised land. Don't leave me here in Egypt. Knowing they would come out of Egypt. By faith. They spoke words, prophetic words, believing it would come to pass. Amen? But I want to look at this where it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. He released a blessing upon their life, believing what he spoke over his children would come to pass. This morning I've titled the message, Decreeing a Blessing. Learning to bless and believing what you say is going to happen. Learning to intentionally select and release through your speech words to alter the future or to establish a future in the life of those around you. Amen. We have a right to speak blessing over our children. We have a right to speak blessing over our church, blessing over our marriage, amen, blessing over our lives. So I want to spend some time looking at this blessing. Turn with me to Genesis. Chapter 27. Now, I don't have time to go and read this entire story. We would never make it through service. I believe that we read line by line. But in Genesis chapter 27, we have Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, right? How many know Abraham was the father of the blessing we have, the father of our covenant? And that covenant blessing was passed down to Isaac. And Isaac had the right to pass that blessing down to his children. Now we know of his two children, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the oldest. There were twins, but Esau actually came forth ahead of Jacob, amen. And being that he was the oldest, he was the heir apparent. He was the heir that was supposed to receive of that blessing. Amen. And the birthright. Now we know earlier in Jacob and Esau's relationship, Jacob bought Esau's birthright for a bowl of beans. Those were some expensive beans. Amen. Must have had ham in them and everything. That way, couldn't eat ham, I guess. No law wouldn't set you. Had ham in them. Ham hock in there. Amen. Those were some good beans, a bowl of lentils. And he bought Esau's birthright. But what Jacob really wanted was that blessing passed down to him. And Rebekah, their mother, Jacob was her favorite. And so Rebekah came up with a scheme to help Jacob steal the blessing. Remember this? What they did is it was, you know, Isaac's getting old, thought he was about to die, but he wouldn't die for a long time yet, but he thought he was close. Amen? So he's going to pass down this blessing. And they know it's time. And so Rebekah has Jacob dress up an animal skin so he would be hairy like his brother Esau. Amen? Rub that smell on him. And even took, I believe it was a couple goats and made like it was venison to fool Isaac. They put on this whole scam, and Jacob went in dressed as Esau before his father, whose vision was, you know, pretty close to gone. And through that, stole the blessing. Amen. You would think that wouldn't count, wouldn't you? I mean, through deception, he stole Esau's blessing. So I want to go straight over to verse number 26. And his father Isaac said unto him, unto Jacob, who was dressed as Esau, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. In other words, he thinks it's Esau. And here's the blessing that Isaac speaks over Jacob. He says, and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. And let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. Do you see all that? This is a major, major blessing he speaks over Jacob. He says, let nations bow down to you, and whoever blesses you is blessed, whoever curses you is cursed. Does that sound familiar? That word is now applied to the nation of Israel. Amen. God said, whoever blesses Israel is blessed, whoever curses Israel is cursed. When God went to bless the nation of Israel, he brought down through time the blessing on Abraham that God told Abraham, with blessing I'll bless you. Amen. I'll make nations of you. Pass that blessing from Abraham down to Isaac, down to Jacob, saying all nations will bow down to you, and whoever blesses you will be blessed. All the way down through the development of the nation of Israel, where in David's time it was written, whoever blesses you will be blessed, whoever curses you will be cursed. Do you see the blessing passed down over the generations? And Jacob has just stepped in. I mean, he has stepped in between what looked like destiny. It should have been passed down to Esau. Esau became the father of the Muslim nations. Amen. I mean, Esau is you know, the lineage of now we have the terrorists coming up from today. Can you imagine had that blessing been passed down through Esau's generations, what kind of state the world would be in now? It's in a mess now. But what if they had the blessing on their life, the blessing of God? So Jacob interrupts what looks like destiny by stepping into that position and intercepting the blessing. Amen. I mean, this is bigger than an interception in a football game. One interception in a football game, you can intercept it, run for a touchdown, and change who wins that game, and who cares. But this changed the course of history. One intercepted blessing. Do you see the power of the blessing? And understand, whatever power God gave Jacob, whatever power He gave Isaac, Joseph on down, He's given us more authority. And He's given us the same authority to bless and alter the future. Oh, hallelujah. See, we should be blessing our children. Amen. We should be blessing our marriages. We should be blessing our church. Amen. Don't want to get ahead of myself. And so, Jacob's intercepted the blessing. Look at verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was scarce gone from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Here comes Esau, ready for the blessing. And he also had made him savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And his dad's saying, what are you thinking? I just ate. Are you forgetful what's going on here? And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn. I'm the firstborn. I'm the one in line for the blessing. I'm Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. Uh-oh. See, he realized what he spoke forth was more than just meaningless words. He's trembling from what just took place. He says he trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I've eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. Who is it intercepted the blessing? Who was it came forth and stole what was supposed to be yours, and now it's his? And he says, I can't change it. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and has taken away thy blessing. And he said, is he not rightly named Jacob, or supplanter? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Look at verse 37. And as Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. I've made him thy Lord. You were firstborn, but through what I just spoke, I just made him your head. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? I want you to get this. Isaac is saying, what I've spoken cannot be reversed. See, this runs contrary to natural thinking. Runs contrary to American thinking that doesn't understand covenant. We think if we speak it, we can say, well, I didn't mean that. Plus, he fooled me. It doesn't count. It doesn't count no more. Nope. Shut that one down. He didn't play fair. Here's the blessing for you. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it because he recognized when he spoke out that blessing, it was released and could not be brought back. How can that be? That's how much power is in our words. That's how God looks at words that are spoken. That they are to be established, a finished work that you're not repenting from. Not trying to alter, not trying to change. That blessing was fixed because it had been released by the man of God, Amen, in that declarative fashion that he says, I can't bring it back. We understand it better like this. We understand that if, you know, let's say that you were selling a car and somebody came to you and you sold them a car for, you know, $1,000 and you signed a contract over to them and, you know, they talked you down to $1,000 that they didn't have the money, you know, couldn't afford it, and they talked you down to $1,000, so you signed a contract over to them, you know, the title deed to the car, you went and gave it to them, they went and had it transferred, and later somebody comes and says, don't you know the car was worth $50,000? That was a classic. And they knew it was a classic. They knew the car was a classic when they came and conned you out of it, and guess what? They got all kinds of money. Now, you might be hopping mad. You follow me? You might tremble a bit like Isaac did, but you signed the car over. We understand the power of the signed contract because in America, that's what we put, how can I say, our stamp of approval on. That if we signed it, then it's official. Do you follow me? You signed it over, it's official. Does anybody have a problem believing that in America? We sign everything to say, this is what I'm declaring as finished, as established, as completed. We finish a job, you know, the people come, they sign off on the job. Finished. Sign a check over. That means it's approved. But words? Why would words have a, you know, finality to them? Why would what we speak represent a finished, completed declaration? In America, we don't understand that. God does. God didn't say, find it in Scripture, show it to me. Show me where God says, I give you all authority, and whatever you write down will be done in heaven. Amen? Whatever you write down will be done on earth. Whatever you write down will be established. He never says that. He says, whatever you speak. The authority is not in your signature. Although I believe you honor your signature, you follow me? The authority is in what you speak. When I was a kid, the authority was in a handshake. You didn't have to sign anything. It was in a handshake. In fact, you know, the farm communities I lived in, it was in, if you said it, you would do it. There was some power in your words. But now in America, we have digressed to the point you've got to have it signed, notarized, co-signed, 14 copies, witnessed and everything else before it's, approved. But here in this situation, and the way God looks at it is because it was spoken, it's finished. And God gave us that power and authority to finish things by what we speak. To release blessings on people and it be accomplished. So Esau says, what about me? Verse number 38. And Esau said to his father, has thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. He recognized what had happened. He recognized he had just been stolen from. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, behold. Now he's going to release a blessing on Isaac, but he can't release the same one. He already gave the blessing to Jacob. Now he's going to speak over Esau, but it's not the same. He said, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And thy sword shall live, and thou shalt serve thy brother. Don't you know he wants to hear that one? I mean, you talk about a case of sibling rivalry. This one's got to, you know, take the cake and take the blessing. You shall serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass that when thou shalt have the dominion, that means become restless, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. There'll come a time you'll break off his yoke. Well, guess what? Esau's descendants are still trying to battle against the descendants of Jacob. Amen? Still wanted to wipe out Israel. The blessing was spoken, It can't be reversed. Now, in chapter number 48, go to Genesis 48. And again, for the sake of time, I don't have time to read through all of this. But now, Joseph's been sold into slavery. He's interpreted the dreams. He's become great in Israel, in Egypt. Amen. He's brought Jacob and all of his brothers to Egypt. And they're living in great wealth in the land of Goshen. And it comes time for Jacob to die. And he wants to bless Joseph's sons. Oh, hallelujah. So they call in Joseph's sons, and Joseph is there, and again, Jacob's ready to bless, pass that blessing down. And Joseph's there, he's got his oldest son. Amen. Was it Ephraim was the oldest? And Manasseh, I may have it backwards. And he's about to present the oldest to Jacob, and Jacob reaches over to touch the other one, and Joseph tries to move his hand. Says, no, this is the older. This is the one you need to bless first. And Jacob says, no, just like the elder served the younger in my life, it'll be so in your family as well. And he switched the blessing over to the younger. But again, that blessing was passed down intentionally to the next generation. In faith, prophetically declared what Jacob was decreeing to come to pass. Amen. And it was done by faith. A blessing passed down by faith. And then in chapter 49, we come to verse number 1. It says, and Jacob called unto his sons. I mean, he had 12 sons. And said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hear, hearken unto the of Israel your father. And he starts prophesying over all 12 sons. And of course, the biggest prophecy was to the tribe of Judah. Now, what do we know came out of the tribe of Judah? Jesus. David and Jesus. When, again, for the sake of time, under Solomon's rule, remember David died, his son Solomon rose up as king, and Solomon accumulated great wealth, walked in great wisdom, but fall away from the Lord for a time. And when Solomon died, the people had been so heavily taxed, a revolt took place. An actual dividing of the tribes took place. And God said it was of him. 10 of the tribes separated unto what we call the nation of Israel. 2 of the tribes, primarily one plus little Benjamin, separated in what we call the nation of Judah. And they became 2 separate countries. Amen. Judah versus the other 10 tribes, plus little Benjamin. And through history, Israel became defeated first, went into captivity. And Judah alone remained as the nation serving God, the nation in liberty. Later they fell as well, but Judah became the last to fall. And it's amazing that's the tribe that Jacob spoke the most heavily blessing over. And God says, because of David my servant, because he was of the tribe of Judah, he says, that's why I'm maintaining Judah to myself. The other 10 tribes can leave me, they can separate, they can revolt, but I'm keeping Judah to myself because of David my servant. And of course, out of that tribe became Jesus. I believe all connected to this passed down blessing through time. And again, we have the same authority, the same right to pass down blessing generationally to our offspring. And we have the ability to pass down blessing generationally to our offspring spiritually. You can follow the path of revival through history. You can take the men of God that are great today and find out who the blessing was passed down to them from before their generation. There are spiritual genealogies. I wish I'd have printed some out and read them to you this morning. I didn't think that maybe I'll do it another time. But if you look at, Kenneth Copeland, he was under Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts was under somebody else. You take them all the way back for centuries to who they were mentored by, raised up. Smith Wigglesworth begot Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall begot Rod Parsley and a whole group of others. Amen. And their offspring are now doing great works for God. Revival, fire, revival blessing being passed down generationally. I believe, in a healing anointing, miracle healing anointing, because I've been blessed of my spiritual father, Pastor Callahan. Amen. Who considered Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin his spiritual fathers, as far as who imparted to him. And I have the ability to bless you. You follow me? To pray blessing over this church. See, it does matter where you go to church. It matters what you're receiving a passed down blessing through. Amen. Well, I'm just under Jesus. I understand you're under Jesus. Amen. And you can receive a whole lot under Jesus. But I believe there is a spiritual heritage you can tap into. And there's a blessing can be spoken over your life. Amen. Shall we take this further? So, Jacob prophesied over the 10 tribes, or over the 12 sons, his 12 sons, the blessing of God in different fashions. Turn to Numbers chapter 6. I'm about to make me a blessing declaration prayer sheet over this church. And hopefully I'll get to the passages that we're going to put in it, or some of them anyway. Numbers chapter 6, have you got it? Now here we've had Moses come on the scene. Amen. And Moses led Israel out of captivity in Egypt. Amen. He's raising up a people of God, a nation of God. God's given Moses the law. He's giving all the principles or standards the kingdom's supposed to operate by. And one of the kingdom principles he established was the priesthood. Amen. How many know Moses' brother Aaron was the first high priest? If we pick it up in Numbers chapter 6, and let's go to verse number 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Now stop right there just for a minute. God tells Moses to command the high priest Aaron, that the high priest Aaron has the assignment to bless the people of God. This is called the Aaronic blessing, high priestly blessing. Amen. This is a known passage of Scripture regarding the blessing that's to be spoken by the high priest over the people of Israel. Amen. And I would venture to say they're still speaking it today. Amen. So God gives specific instructions for Aaron to bless God's people. I believe part of our covering system we have today in the church is a responsibility of the pastor to bless the people, to pray blessing over the people, protection over the people, provision for the people, divine covering for the people. Amen. Deliverance for the people. Part of the pastoral blessing. Not to mention what we're going to cover as we go into these things. And so he says, ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, verse 24, here's the blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. That means divine favor, his face to shine upon you. And be gracious unto thee to provide for you in abundance. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. In other words, he's always mindful of you. He's always watching over you. And give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God said he would bless Israel, and that the high priesthood had the responsibility of speaking this blessing over the people. This is now being put in my prayer list to pray over you guys daily. Amen. That we would access the blessing of God. Because, see, when Jesus said, I give you the keys of the kingdom, it wasn't supposed to be things that we just take haphazardly. or we take lightly. It's supposed to be principles, godly principles He put in the Word we're supposed to have established and operate in. And I believe one of those areas of operation we're seeing in the Word over and over again is to speak the blessing. Hebrews chapter 11 again, remember? Don't have to turn there. But we read in God's Faith Hall of Fame, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob spoke over the sons of Joseph. By faith, Joseph gave commandment concerning his bones while he was still in Egypt. Amen. In the departing of Israel. By faith, the blessing was decreed. It's the key to the kingdom. To learn to become a person that decrees blessing. That becomes an intermediary, a stand-in between God and man that says, I declare God's favor on your life. I take what's from above and I pass it down to what's beneath. I want us to get a hold of not just that my pastor's going to bless me, pray over me, but I'm going to pray over my house. I'm going to decree blessing. I'm going to prophesy over my children's future, over their children's future. I'm going to prophesy over our finances. I'm going to bless our health. I'm going to decree in a understanding, if I speak the words, it's in their faith-filled words, it shall come to pass, and I shall see the end of what I'm speaking forth. So when we decree our next building, you follow me? We believe, we receive. We prophesy and stand on it. No devil in hell can stop it. We prophesy that our worship team is full of Holy Ghost members, every instrument represented, full of the Holy Ghost and fire in covenant unity. Excellent voices, excellent musicians. We believe, we receive. We bless the church with that. We speak every seat's filled with Holy Ghost revivalists, wanting the fullness of the power of God released. And we declare every seat filled, multiple services here and in our next buildings to come. We believe, we receive. Amen. We don't move off of that. Why? Because the blessing has been released. We have prophesied our future. See, when you start wavering on what you say, you neutralize the power of that. Amen. Because the power of your words works both directions. It's a two-edged sword, right? You can use that sword to bless or you can use it to curse. Amen. If you have the two-edged sword and you're cutting down, remember there's always a blade looking back at you. Make sure you're going forwards. Make sure the sword's going forwards. Never bring that edge back. It could cause a problem. So that's the high priestly blessing. But what does it say in the New Testament about this blessing? How are we supposed to speak over the church in the New Testament? Well, let's look at a few examples. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. And I believe in Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to see an example of an apostolic blessing. Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul, right? The Apostle Paul. Authority over his churches. Amen. Now we're going to see what he prayed or what he decreed over his churches. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 15, Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. In other words, I'm speaking of you in my prayers. That making mention is a pretty weak, I think, translation. I think Paul was doing more than just making mention. It means to speak forth, right? He was decreeing in his prayers. And here's what he said. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, here's the blessing he's releasing. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He's praying that you know Jesus. That the Spirit has access to your life. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. He wants you to know, He wants your eyes to be open. He wants you to know what you're called to do. And He wants you to have a revelation of His blessing. I mean of the abundance He has laid up for you. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power, the anointing to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. We're to know the power of God according to His unlimited levels that He possesses it, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is also to come, and has put all things under His feet, and under our feet, I might say, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. This is what Paul prayed for the churches. This is an apostolic blessing. He calls it a prayer, but he's releasing a blessing, that your eyes be opened, you have a revelation of Jesus Christ, that the power of God operates in you to the level that raised Christ from the dead, amen, and you know your authority. Just to mention part of what's in that declaration. We have a right to speak that over our churches. Amen. I do pray this over this church, amen. This is a passage I pray over the church. But I'm going to put together a whole list of these things to pray over the church. Amen. To operate in the fullness of the power of God. Look at chapter 3. We have another example of what Paul says. He speaks over the same church. Talking to the same churches. Another example of what he's speaking over them. He says in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." You have a right to be strengthened by God inside. By His Spirit. Do you believe God has unlimited power? Do you believe the Holy Spirit is one third of the Trinity? That the Holy Spirit is God? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit lives in you? So unlimited power is in you. Going all through this area, we have these high voltage, wire systems. These power systems all around. Boy, they're carrying 22,400 volts, something like some amazing amount of power going through these power lines. Your car battery has 12 volts in it. You can grab the terminals of your battery, even though it'll start your car, you can grab those terminals and you'll be fine. Anyway, you take that little car battery, it's got enough power to start the car, but it's a lower voltage, it's not going to do you any major harm. But if you take that little car battery and you hook it up to that 22,000 volts, something's going to blow when it's not the high voltage line. I mean, there's going to be a meltdown. You follow me? Because a high power source came in contact with a low power source. And here's you, low power source, comparable to what's in you. Because the Holy Spirit's in you. And to the level you'll connect your faith to it, you can charge up your battery out of the Holy Ghost in you. If you put the right transformers on it, you can, which is what you put a battery charger on your car, is taking the power off that high voltage. It steps it down through different transformers and lets you charge your car battery. Amen. You have that ability inside of you to access all that power and stay charged. And that's what Paul was praying, that you just be filled with the fullness of Him. Amen. That the power of God would be accessed within you. Verse 17, that Christ, the anointed one in His anointing, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. That word comprehend means to take, to grab a hold of and take for yourself. With all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Here God says, Paul's saying, I'm praying over you that you be filled with the love of God. That through that love of God, you might be filled with all the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Amen. He says, now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, above all that we decree or prophesy, above all the blessings we speak forth. God can do above that. According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church. Glory in the church. By Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Paul blessed the church the churches with this declaration. I believe he spoke this over all his churches. This is written to the Ephesians, but we understand the whole Word of God is for us. I believe he's speaking that over every church. I believe he'd stand up before the churches when he'd visit and say, I pray that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints. He would speak that over the churches. Why? To pass down that blessing. I want the blessing of God. I want the fullness of the blessing. And I understand God gave us principles that if we'll enact these principles, we can receive of the power. Well, I just don't think it's all that. You know, I hear people all the time talking about in the churches they have a healing meeting and nobody gets healed. They pray for people and nobody ever gets delivered. And they want to know what's going on. Why is that not happening? Because in here we see people healed all the time. We see people delivered all the time. I mean, we're nearly 100% healing. I know we're up in the high 90s of the people come in and get healed when they come up for prayer. Why is it we see people healed here, but other people aren't seeing people healed? One is because of my apostolic connection. I've sown into my man of God for years who has accessed that power. And I have a right to receive that blessing passed down to me. But two, because we've learned the keys of the kingdom, that if we'll operate by those keys, we can access that power. So we don't pray for people to get healed because it's not how Jesus did it. It's not how the Word says to do it. We declare them healed. We command sickness to go and healing to come. We decree the power of God. Why? Because it's the way the kingdom works. And one works and one doesn't. You know, we have keys to this building. You have keys to your car. And there's probably, well, I will guarantee you, there's not another key in Georgetown that fit that front door except the ones we have. The locksmith designed those keys for us. We have those keys specially made. Amen. They're designed for us. Nobody else's key is going to fit that door. So if you want to come through that door, if it's locked, you must have that key or a blowtorch. You need the key to properly open the door. And we got a whole lot of the churches trying to open God's doors, but they don't have the right keys. They're begging and pleading God. It's not the key. They're trying to make deals with God. Not the key. They're trying to ignore the power of faith and speaking words of authority. It's a mandatory key. There's a whole set of doors you got to come through to access the blessing. You must have the keys. And one of those is the power to prophetically declare the blessing over situations. It's a key that you cannot ignore. And I believe there's keys to go into the glory. Amen. There's key principles we must activate to go into the glory. I don't believe God's withholding the glory. I believe we haven't learned all the keys yet. I believe we haven't learned how to praise God at the highest levels and not let the clock dictate to go where we need to go. Amen. I don't believe we've learned how to, you know, intercede at the right, in the right ways or at the right levels, the right form to access everything we're supposed to have. That's why we're praying in tongues to get that revelation. I believe sowing is a key factor to accessing the glory. And of course, the power of your words is a key factor to access the glory. God's going to teach them all to us. He wants the doors unlocked. He wants the glory accessed. And Paul says, I pray your eyes are open to know what the keys are to go into his glory. To paraphrase. Amen. The apostolic blessings. Of course, we're going to pray. I pray this passage over the church as well. We'll continue to pray that over the church. I want a whole list of areas to pray. Turn over to John chapter 17. Are you still with me? John chapter 17. And again, this is a passage we're well familiar with. Now, we've talked about the priestly, high priestly blessing. We've talked about the apostolic blessing. We've talked about blessing our children. In fact, next week, should the Lord lead me, I have a whole list of scriptures we're going to go into about blessings over your children. Amen. Which you can speak over your family as well. But they're blessings out of the Word of God. Promises for your children you can speak over them. Amen. And should be speaking over them. John chapter 17. Have my Bible opened up in Acts. In John chapter 17, we have Jesus' last prayer over his people. I mean, his last major prayer. And go to verse number 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Here Jesus says, these things I speak in the world. Do you believe Jesus took his words for granted? Do you believe what he said he took lightly? See, I believe another way we could state that is Jesus said, these things do I prophesy into the world. These things do I declare into the world. It wasn't just like, well, I just speak these in the world. In other words, it's not that he's saying, I'm in the world and I'm speaking. He was saying, I'm speaking these into the world system. I'm about to release something into the world to alter the course of history. Remember we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith the ages were framed by the word of God. Amen. By faith, God framed, he formed, prophesied the future of what would take place in the ages. And Jesus here is saying, I'm about to do the same thing. I'm about to speak into the world. I'm about to frame the future. I'm about to release a blessing. He says, verse 14, I've given them thy word. And the world hated them because they are not of the world, neither, or even because I'm not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. Here Jesus is praying his church is kept from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Do you recognize you're not of the world? Can you get that revelation once you got saved, you're not of the world system anymore? You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a citizen of a new nation, the nation of the kingdom of God. Amen. A nation with all sorts of unlimited blessing and promises. Verse 17, here's what he's prophesying. Sanctify. Where sanctify means to set apart as holy. Amen. To reposition as dedicated to God. Sanctify them through thy truth. And thy word is truth. I got a whole message I'm just gnawing at the bit to do. I just got to find the right time. Out of the word of God, where Jesus said, miracles are not going to bring in the harvest. They're not going to produce a harvest. He said, if they don't believe the law and the prophets, which is the word, they won't believe one raised from the dead. That would be a miracle. Jesus said, unless their eyes are opened by the word, unless the anointing can get on them to see the truth of the word of God, they won't believe even if they see miracles at the highest level. And he says, the truth is the word, right here. In other words, he's saying, set them apart by the word. Let the word be alive in them. Let the word bring forth change. Now, miracles can draw the harvest. It just won't save the harvest. There's got to be the anointing where the miracle takes place to open eyes to then see the truths of the word. But I'll preach that another time. He says in verse 18, as thou wast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through that truth. There's another sermon I want to do. They're piling up on me. He says, I send them into the world, and I sanctify or set them apart myself as holy for their sakes. How many know Jesus, what he did was for our sakes? So when he was in the world, he had the mentality, it's not just about me. And your life is not just about you. You set your life apart as holy on behalf of the other people that you influence and that you affect. You sanctify yourself not just about you and your blessing, but about what impact it's going to have on the harvest you're bringing around you. You setting yourself apart as holy will influence the anointing you walk in and the gifts you carry. But I'll preach that another time. Verse 20, Let's get into it. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's talking about us. We're believing the words the first apostle spoke forth, that they wrote down. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now here's what he's prophesying. Here's the blessing he's releasing on the church. That they may be one, as Jesus and the Father are one. He says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect or mature and complete in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now here he says, when the church comes together in unity, through the glory, the world will know the truths of the gospel. In other words, when the church comes together in unity, there will be an anointing manifested, a corporate anointing to open eyes of the lost. It's not the miracles that are going to do it. It's covenant that's going to do it. Covenant people seeking God with all their hearts and praising God unto the manifestation of the glory. And interceding, I might say. Father, I will that thou also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I've known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I've declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved them may be in them, and I in them. He is prophesying the love of God on the church. Jesus' last blessing over his people was that they accessed the fullness of the love of God. And that's what I pray over this church, that we would know the love of God which passes knowledge. That we would know unity that drives out all strife and division. That we would walk as one, as Christ and the Father are one. That all past hurt, all past negative influence would be wiped away by the blood, and we walk together in the fullness of peace of God. Watch the glory come forth and bring in the harvest when we do that. Amen. A people that are accessing all the keys of the kingdom, including walking in the blessing of God. I want to encourage you to learn to prophesy over your households. Parents, prophesy over your children. Fathers, prophesy over your wife and children. Amen. Of course, wives, prophesy over your husband as well. It'll do a whole lot more than just nagging. Not that there's any naggers in here. That was for the sake of those listening by TV. If you're a nagger, prophesy. Prophesy over your pastor, over your church, the Word of God. Amen. And let's watch God move on these things, activating keys of the kingdom. Did you get anything out of this morning? Praise you, Jesus. We win. We win. Stand your feet with me. Let's worship God.